Always great to be here. We thank Steve Gregorian for having us as the only broadcast facility that's invited time and time again to these wonderful Detroit Economic Club meetings. This one, as Mr. Announcer just said, featuring Barbara McQuaid, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, professor at the University of Michigan Law School. I was glad to be able to ask her a couple of questions on what she thought was happening in our college campuses. Now, we don't agree on a lot of things politically oftentimes. So anyway, it was good to hear from her. And then Madam Secretary of State to Jocelyn as well. She's in there right now, in fact, helping out with being the moderator on the program. We also thank Lloyd Jackson. Lloyd was here a moment ago, but he's doing his duties. Lloyd is up on the stage doing the WJR business briefs. And this goes back, years. WJR's had that kind of relationship with the Detroit Economic Club. All right, we welcome now Dr. David Rosenberg, Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neuroscience at Wayne State University. I mentioned this on the air the other day because we heard in a story on the air with Dick Hafner, a doctor actually say, yes, the radiation from your cell phone does have an effect on your brain. And I thought, geez, people have often wondered about it, but now they're saying it's happening. Now what? What do we do? Let's find out right now. Dr. Rosenberg, this is Paul W. Smith. Welcome to Focus.
Great to be with you, Paul W.
What do we do? I mean, the cell phone is now a part of our daily living without question.
There's no question about it, and this is something we at Wayne State University and the Detroit Medical Center have given a lot of attention to for quite some time. And the way I look at it, Paul W., is that digital devices, the cell phone, can be a wonderful servant, but it's a cruel and crippling master. So if you and I want to see what the temperature is in Honduras, we punch in a few things in the cell phone, and there we have the information. But when it becomes something that takes the place of everything else, what we're doing now, talking, socializing, then it becomes the cruel, crippling master. And as a child and adolescent psychiatrist, what we're seeing is just a hijacking of these children and adolescents' brain, the brain's reward center, the CEO, its processing center. And we've actually done some brain imaging studies where the brain scan of a child or adolescent who is addicted to the internet looks virtually the same as someone who's addicted to crack cocaine or heroin.
Wow. That's amazing.
Scary, right?
It's really scary. So we absolutely have proof in what you're saying, and I know you look at it from a different standpoint in terms of the overutilization and dependence on the cell phones and in your psychiatry practice and behavioral neuroscience sciences at Wayne State University. But the cell phones, even cordless phones, are using the radio frequency radiation, RF, to send signals. And it's sending out radiation that's going into our heads. But I can't get anyone to say we definitely know this causes cancer, for example.
No, and that's beyond my level of expertise as a child and adolescent psychiatrist. But what I can say is that none of us would be willing to unsupervised leave a loaded gun, whatever your political persuasion or feelings about the Second
right.
Amendment, with kids, adolescents, and just sitting there, or a bottle of whiskey. You know, there has to be some realistic societal investigation, because in many ways we don't know the full extent of what's happening. Now, what is exciting to those of us who are doing some of these studies is that the brain damage or brain abnormalities that appear to be caused by excessive use of cell phones, digital devices, appear to be reversible if adolescents, for example, go on a 2 to 4 week digital fast. Hmm. So that's encouraging, but the bottom line is we know so little about this. And this is really more than a psychiatry or a neurology or cancer doctor issue. It's a societal issue and what we will accept. And we like to say that it's all about the children, but this is an opportunity for us to really do something about that.
What do you suggest we do, that we in fact have these digital fasts a couple of two, three times a year for our kids and for ourselves?
I think, you know, we are so suggestible, and especially our children and adolescents, they look to us for the lead. We now can't move, it seems, without a cell phone. If we forget the cell phone, we have to go back and get it. People are getting phantom texts where they think that something has vibrated and maybe this is a text. I think the first thing is, I believe that knowledge heals. So we absolutely have to, as a society, put some guardrails in the same way people did with cigarettes, tobacco. It may seem like an impossible task because of how prevalent the digital devices are. They're everywhere. But I think that if we work together, knowing the stakes and what the repercussions are, that that's really our chance. But it's going to take politicians, policy leaders, people like you. I can't thank you enough for shining a light on this, Paul W. Professionals, parents. I always like to tell parents when they come see me about a digitally addicted child or adolescent that parenthood is not a democracy. At best, it's a cruel, at best, it's a benevolent dictatorship. And
right.
We, the parents, are the dictators.
I'll tell you something, Dr. David Rosenberg, when you talked about the phantom phone contact, everybody here looked at each other, because who among us hasn't carried a phone in our front pocket and then felt the buzz and go, oh, I'm getting a call, and you reach into the front pocket and your phone isn't there. But we felt the buzz. We would have bet $1 million that we were getting a phone call.
You're right.
So you were spot on with that and everything else. We thank you for that. We hope that we've sounded an alarm that will, resonate with parents, because you're right. We're in charge. We are the ones who decide what our kids do or don't do. And we better maybe take the reins here, take the horns, and take over. Dr. David Rosenberg, MD, Chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at Wayne State University. We will look forward to talking with you again, Doctor.
Thank you. I look forward to it, Paul W.
Thank you, sir, as we continue on WJR.